Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right. Thank you, Duke. You are listening to the Chili Dippers once again. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. Sitting across, or on the other line from me, I should say, is a man who can't swallow tablets. Dave Cannon-Ralston, how are you going?
Well, I'm going well because I've been chewing up my tablets. I actually had some real. I had two anti-inflames and seven Panadol last night. That's not too many, is it?
No, you can't. Well, I got told you can't OD on Panadol.
Yeah, no, well, and you're right, but I've improved the tiny little Nurofen things I can swallow, but normal size Panadol, I'm still chewing them up.
Yeah, I remember having to when I couldn't swallow my tablet, I think it was about 7 years old or something. That's about where I learnt.
No, that's good. How you been going? What's going on?
Well, hang on. I just got a quick shout out to Paul Goody. He was the one that sent that little one, just that tiny little one in.
Did he? That's good.
Shout out to Goody. So, actually, let's start with you. What have you been doing? What's going on in New Zealand?
Well, there's a bit going on this morning. I woke up to sirens and screaming and all that sort of stuff. So I went down the street to have a look, and a street down from me, and you've been to my neighbourhood. It doesn't look, it's not too rough.
No.
But a guy just early in the morning knocked on another guy's door and shot him in the face.
What?
Yeah, so I've just a street down from me, a guy's knocked on a guy's door and the guy's come and answered the door and he just shot him in the face.
Oh, a little bit harsh.
It is a bit harsh, yep. I don't know. The guy might have been a bad man either way and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, it's got me up and about. It's got me on my toes. It's got me acting... You know, being a bit sharp, it's got me out of me sort of me just taking everything for granted type thing. So
I'm thinking the gunman probably thought the bloke was a bad man, I'd hope.
Yeah, well, he may, but it sharpened me up a little. As you can probably tell, I'm up and about.
Good. Good. Cool, because it's probably better for the podcast.
And yourself now, I know you probably want to mention this. I seen it on Facebook and I didn't comment.
No, you didn't comment. Everyone else did, though.
Yeah, I know, because you said, what did you have, 52 points or 74 52
points?
52 points. Under par off the stick? What did you have the other day?
Now, you know what? Don't talk to me like the other day. Like,
No, it was magnificent. You now, know it was magnificent.
Judging by some of the comments on, I played in the comp here. Yarrawonga have a black ball, the last Sunday of every month, they have a black ball challenge where they do a little something a little bit special. And I played Nat, and I had 46 points off playing off 19, which is, I shot a personal best. I shot 81 off
the stick. What did you have off the stick? What's that give you?
81. 81. I shot a 40.
I thought you might have got under. I thought, just looking at it, I thought you must have had 79. I had you at 79.
No, I actually, halfway through the round, I started thinking that. And then when we finished the nine, my playing partner started adding up the points, and I said, I don't want to know at all what score I've got. I just want to keep playing. And I knew I was playing as well as I could. And with about three or four holes to go, shooting under 80, because I've never done that, actually started creeping into my mind. And then when I added them up, it was an 81. I shot a 39 on the back. So I've had 46 stable points. But judging by... So Black Bull have taken a photo of me holding the prize, put it on Facebook. People that I don't know have commented... You would think I had 72 stable for points the way they're all carrying on. Like it's just, you can't go out and shoot your person. Like, 46 isn't outrageous. I know it's a high score, but it's not unheard of.
No. No, well, as I said, an 81 is, don't get me wrong, it's magnificent, but yeah, you play enough golf, you'll get around that 80 mark and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, no, it's great. But yeah, it's you know, you didn't cure cancer.
No, that's right. And the funny thing is, like, I was thinking about, like, everyone says, oh, geez, you know, you must have played well. You must have been shooting the lights out. And like you say, it's only 81. So compared to most people, I'm not shooting the lights out. For me, I am. But it's funny, the weird thing about playing, like, the best golf you can, you're not shooting the lights out. You're just not making mistakes. And that's all it was.
Well, and we've played enough together, and I've said that to you all the time. You you can make pars easy. It's just that you make bogeys because you lose your first ball or you do something. Yeah. So did you make a heap of pars or did you actually make birdies and bogeys? How did you go?
Now, I had 10 pars and I had one birdie. And I think I had 1-8, but the rest were sort of 6-5-4. And then like the par threes, I played them all two over, so that helps when you're putting threes on the cards.
So just regulation too, you were just hitting fairway, hitting the green, two solid putts, nothing ridiculous. It's funny, you play normal golf and you don't feel like you're shooting the lights out. It's when you get into trouble and hit the green from the rough from 200 out or chip in a hole or ridiculous putt. You feel like you're playing great, but then that day you have 90 because you're in trouble. But, yeah, you play normal and have sort of 81. So, no, that's great that you make that closer to your normal.
Yeah, and look, that's the thing. The reason I'm bringing this up, it's not like to brag or anything like that. It's just interesting how when you play your best golf, it just doesn't feel like it. Like you're just not making those mistakes. Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't drain any monster putts. I just, if I was 20 feet away, I putted to within a foot and tapped it in. I didn't miss a single putt all day that I thought, I should have got that. Like anything within 5 feet, I just made.
That makes a big difference. Just making the putts you should rather never having to hit one in from an inch.
Yeah.
Is real handy. So now that's good. So what's that bring you into?
Oh, that brought me into 15. 15.
So that brings me into 15 too, really, because whatever you play off, I just play off the same. Yeah. So that's good. I'm into 15 now. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. But you know what the funniest thing about it was? I went to the drive, got up early, went across to the drive range before the round. I shanked five straight into the tin shed on the right-hand side, thought, fuck it, walked off. We started the round and my playing partner goes, oh, yeah, the range, how'd you hit him? I said, oh, mate, it's going to be a long day. And because I was playing with one of the pros there, Mooney, who's just a ripping fella, and I played with...
So what's Mooney? He's a great bloke. What's Mooney off?
Mooney's off plus one.
Plus one?
Yeah.
Gee,
all right. He only beat me off... He said to me after the round, he goes, what'd you shoot off the stick? I said, oh, I don't know. I said, probably 10 or 11 over. And he goes, we worked out it was 9 over. And he goes, shit, with the four holes to go, I started shitting. He goes, I thought you were going to get me off the stick. And I said to him, I'm glad I didn't know that because that would have tightened me right up. Same with the longest drive for the day. And I didn't realize when I hit it that it was the longest drive hole. And there's no way I would have put on the fairway had I have known that.
You should not know which hole is the longest drive hole. That's the best way for you to go about it.
Yeah,
and if you did beat Mooney off the stick, I reckon that'd be nearly a world record, the biggest gap as in a plus one to a minus 19 beat off the stick. That would have been a monster. But so what prizes for that? Anything ridiculous or just a couple of golf balls like they normally
are? I got a $100 voucher to the pro shop and that sort of stuff.
Which they give you everything for free at the pro shop anyways. So you need that.
But I played with James McCulley's father, Glenn McCulley, who, I'm only guessing here. I'm not sure he'd be in his 70s. Still hits a beautiful golf ball, really charming, nice fella. And he had, I think, don't hold me to this, but I think he had a couple of course records back in the day on the tour, on the European or British tour. So he can really play. And I reckon that's what it come down to. I was on the driving range watching how short his backswing was and how slow and controlled his swing was. And he doesn't realize this, but he was in front of me with his back turned. So I was addressing the ball at the same time as him. And when he started his backswing, I was going with him and trying to keep the exact same tempo. So out on course, I was just sort of trying to channel that all around, and I reckon that really sort of played a big part in it.
Mate, makes a huge difference playing with two really good players rather than playing with me and some other mug and playing with two blokes who were just, not that they're overly serious, I'm sure they'll still have great
absolutely.
Fun and mess about, but they just playing well. I'm the same. When I used to play when I was younger and played, you got to play with Greg Ragone, who'd be off one or two and all that. You'd always have much better days. So you say he's 70. Has he ever shot his age?
I haven't asked him. I asked him, he said he'd had seven or nine holes in one in his time.
My God, I would have hated him.
Yeah. but no, I didn't ask. I'll find that out, though, because I should have asked that. That's
you know what the record – you know how shooting your age is magnificent. You have to do it once or twice. You know what the record is?
No.
For how many times doing it? Kermit Daniel – did it 1,138 times.
Oh, geez, how do you even keep track of that?
Well, I don't know, but shooting your age is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I know, but after that, after 700, you sort of stop counting, don't you?
Yeah, fair point. Yep. Now, Kermit Daniel is his name.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he was, and if he did it, like, he must have done it at 68, 69, 70, 71, 72 over the years. But
it's such a cool concept, that, isn't it? How the sliding scale meets somewhere in the middle and you've got a time perfect. So cool.
Yep, it is, it is. Now, what? We better review a golf course, mate.
Oh, yes, we better. That's what we're doing here.
What are we doing today?
We are doing the Great Barwon Heads, which is a golf course located down the peninsula, down the Torquay sort of area, or sort of Geelong.
Now, Barwon Heads. Now, what has happened? Why we played Barwon Heads was that we've played every other course down in that area, but you played Barwon Heads a couple of years ago without me. But every time we drive past it, you tell me how good it is. Yeah. And I say, well, let's go play it. And you go, no, I've played it. And we'll drive past it again. Oh, have a look at this, Rolls. Have you played Barwon Heads? Go, no, I haven't played Barwon Heads. You won't let me. Let's go play it. So after a year and a half or 2 years of badgering you, you finally let me play Barwon Heads, and it was magnificent.
It was good. And look, I built it up because I've said on more than one occasion that I think outside of Tasmania, it's the best course we've got.
Best course on mainland Australia, yeah. Which is a reasonable call. You can make, whether it's right or wrong, you can make an argument, and that's all you need.
Yeah, well, it's not even the highest ranked one on the list, on the Golf Australia magazine's list we go off. So, but it's just my opinion. I think it is.
Yep. But it's ranked 5 or 6, yeah. So it can't be far away.
Yeah, look, so it's ranked 6, and it's the thing I like, it's not an overly, like, the slope's only off the Blues, which we play, is 123, so it's only 5,856 metres, so it's not a long, like, daunting course, but if you're hitting them straight, you get rewarded. That's why I really like it. And look,
the wind is the key factor. Correct. There. If the wind blows up, it can get you. But I agree. It was a lot of those real top end, you know, top five, top courses can be just too hard to play for mugs like you and me.
Yeah, yeah.
But this isn't. It could penalise you if you did a bad shot and something stupid, as it should. And if the wind blew up, but other than very playable, very playable.
Yeah, and look, it's a proper links. It's a true links. It's almost got that feel of sort of like a, like what I'd imagine, like the Scottish sort of links sort of look like and feel like.
Very much so. I would agree with you there. It could have been in old England or Scotland or that, for sure. Yep.
Not cheap. Not cheap. It's we paid $120 plus. That didn't include the cart. That was just for the round. There. And for those
that should include the cart.
Yeah, you're right. It should. Yeah, that's getting up there. And for those thinking of going and playing, my only tip is to make sure you got white socks, because like a lot of clubs have dress codes, and you can get around them. They are very, very strict on your socks. They need to be white.
So I wasn't allowed to wear me dark blue long footy socks I wore the day before.
You're not allowed to wear them ever again on a golf course with me.
Well, there's a problem now. You never put up any of the Instagram stuff.
I did today.
Pod.
If you check now, they're up.
I haven't looked.
Yeah.
So did you put the link to the song "The Wolf" that I said to put up?
No, but I'm going to put. I found proof that I via text message that I was the one that told you about that song. I'm going to put that up.
I didn't need to prove that anyway. Did you put the link to the top 100 insults?
No. I've been very selective. I've had a busy week. I've got stuff going on.
Did you do anything?
What have you done?
Now, how about this golf course?
good one.
I tell you, we always talk about the opening hole, and I reckon it's a big factor.
Yep.
And this is another brilliant opening
hole. Absolutely. Good start. Good place to start, Ross.
Perfect.
Opening hole.
Yep, perfect opening hole, has elevated tee, big dipper fairway up to an elevated green, wide open, and I like the bunker up on the left corner there. It sort of gives you a target, gives you a line to go to. So perfect opening hole.
But tough second shot though, because you generally, no matter how you hit, if you hit it semi-straight, it gets down to the bottom of that thing. Like, our balls are only like 5 metres apart, and you cannot see the green from the second shot in. It is just, you can see the flag sticking up, and that is it. And it's so hard to pick what club. Especially when we go to play a second shot and my rangefinder battery goes flat and we got to shoot back to the pro shop.
Yeah. No, you're right. But good opening hole. Then the next was the par three.
Yep.
The long par three. Now, we weren't obviously going to go through every hole, but I wanted to get to the par three because my rap on the course, one of my big pluses was, I think collectively the four par threes on the course were as good a group as par threes on any course anywhere.
That is my number.
All of them, all of them were brilliant and different and clever and pretty. And especially now, I think is at hole 7, The big two-tiered green par three?
Par four, that is.
No, the short, the par three that's about hole seven.
Hole seven's the one that crosses back over the road to start to go at the back. Hole four is the one where it's a par three and you got that...
Gee, I didn't think it was that early on. Yeah, it is. Was it par four for the fourth, was it?
Yep. So you got that par three you're talking about now. Then you've got the par four that comes back. You got that bit of wasteland on the right-hand side that you got to cut across, which is a great hole. Yeah. And then you, once you finish it, you go up the top of the hill and you play the fourth coming back towards the clubhouse, which is the fourth par three. It's 165 metres.
That one, yeah. Well, that green looks fantastic from the tee. The great big elevation from the top. Doesn't look, when you get to it, it's not as big. But from the tee, it just looks massive. So that was a brilliant par three.
So we can't say enough that when you say two tier, it's actually like literally two tiers. Like it's like it'd be an 8 foot like from the top tier. It'd be a, like you can barely putt from the top, have it come down, and stay on the bottom part of the green.
It'd be almost impossible. Yeah.
The reason I know that is hole four, because that is what I had as the signature hole. I think that's a really cool, just mainly because of the green, a really interesting.
Yeah, hole. I probably had it as a signature hole too. And I said, maybe just because I had a lot of shots before the fourth that I thought it was the sixth or the seventh. I'd have enough shots that it was, should have been playing the sixth or the seventh. So, but yeah, and I reckon over the road was better golf course than before the road.
See, that's interesting because I like before the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like that real wide, just because it's different. Like, there's just wide open and there's no trees, no rough. It's just, and look, we got on a little bit of a different day because the first time I played it was really, really green. So it was just green fairways that just stopped and turned into like just brown sort of really short dirt slash sort of scrub, and then the next fairway there was no trees in between, no dunes, no nothing, and you can see all the holes, and you can just see these green carpets running in the middle. When we played,
I get that. I remember you were telling me that on the day, and I could see that in my head, and I agree with you. Beautiful and that, but that's funny. Yeah, and look again over the road, it warmed up a little, and I warmed up a little. Started hitting it a bit better. I think I made a handful of pars and all that sort of stuff. And the weather got a bit better, so that may have influenced my liking of over the road a little better too. But I remember saying to you on the day, it was very, very good without being great.
Yep.
I'm leaning more and more towards great.
Yeah, that's good. And look, there's when we said, so you're saying that was your signature hole, I reckon. You're saying as well, the fourth.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I was just on their website just before I got in here. And there's a. I just want to read this out. There's a little thing where you can go some little facts.
Oh,
and it's got 2011. It says because next door to Bowen Heads is like they've got a little practice, a little par three course, which is nowhere near the same condition, but still pretty nice. I've played that. At 2011, it says the short game practice facility is opened in the same year. One of the club's shortest holes, the par three 13th, is added to Australia's list of the most iconic golf holes by Golf Digest magazine. So that's interesting.
Remind me which hole that was.
It was a short par three, elevated. Had the green that sort of all fell off into like green, like grass bunkers all the way around. A little postage size.
Was that the one when we were driving to it? The dirt path split into three or four spots.
No. Later on from that, it was an elevated one. We hit down to it, and you pushed yours out to the right. And had
the
to
wind blew it right across, didn't it? Yeah. I remember. I reckon the one earlier was better than that. Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought I'd read that. It's interesting that's one of the more iconic ones, and we didn't have it as a signature hole.
No, you're right. And just on the thing, so I ended up playing pretty well around the back, I think. But it was again, wasn't that I played great? It's just I'd hit the green, and I'd have a monster long putt. I was like, I'd be in three putt territory. But I'd get my first putt close and make two, where you were inside me every time. Mm. Like, your ball was much closer, but you were still in normal two-putt territory and make normal twos. Because we played match play.
Yeah.
And you were sort of looking like you were in front every hole.
Yeah.
But then I'd end up halving every hole from making that first monster putt. And it ended up, I think, one-shot difference at the end or something.
Yeah, it was funny.
That was good. Match play was really good, both playing off the same.
Yeah, it was good. And I think you won with two holes to play, but then when we played the hole out and we added the scores up roughly, I think it was one shot in it off the stick.
If we played off the stick, it was real even all day, and the match play was only ever one shot in it all day, and then I might have snuck one right at the end there. But, that was good fun. So And then one of the highlights, that clubhouse is magnificent.
Yes, I've got that. I spent about a minute and a half writing some notes down before we started this pod, before I called you. And the first thing I put down was how good the par threes was, which you've mentioned. And the very second one was how good the clubhouse. It's one of the better, other than maybe Sorrento, it's one of the better ones I've seen. But it's different. Sorrento's a bit more sort of newer and modern. This has got that real old school charm about it.
Now, he's turning the tables. If you did something at the clubhouse that if I did, you'd mention and hang shit on me and make me look a bit silly.
Okay.
But you did it, didn't you? Well, did you know what I'm talking about?
No, I actually don't.
I'll be kind. Borrowed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Borrowed that towel.
Yeah,
you?
I stole a towel from the. Yep. Which I didn't end up even needing. That was to sit on the seat in my car so my back didn't ache on the way home.
Well, it was funny because I was, again, I knew you were calling to do the pod. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, mention the par threes, mention the clubhouse. I'm thinking, but where did we have lunch? And then I realised we had a great lunch. We had hot dogs at IKEA.
Great lunch. A great priced lunch.
You actually made me laugh. So I don't know if you'd had hot dogs at IKEA, but no. I was well aware of the hot dogs at IKEA. We're in the line, so I've got mine. I'm looking back at you and you're arguing with the lady over the price because they're too cheap. And then you turn around and yell out to the rest of the store, are you people aware of this? They're $1 hot dogs.
I just thought, how could, obviously they're giving away just to get you there, but $1 hot dogs. I thought you'd made a mistake. I was just correcting. I said, no, I got two hot dogs. And she goes, yeah, that'll be $2.
And they were very nice hot dogs. They were very, you know, I was going to dull it down to nice, but no, there's very nice hot dogs.
I'll cap it at nice.
All right. Hey, did you build that, whatever you bought, I can't even remember, did you have the ability to build it and put it up in your
house? I haven't built it yet. I've been too busy. Haven't built it yet.
All right. Well, look, we've probably got away from Barwon Head there, but look, it's a top five course, so it doesn't need us to say that it's great or good or otherwise. It is. It's magnificent. It's a tad pricey. And it'd want to be good where it is, like that neighbourhood, the Torquay and Barwon Heads and Lawn and everywhere
13th
else.
13th Beach.
A lot of good courses down there, but it is magnificent.
Yeah. One last thing I want to mention is the flags. Their logo's got the colour like the, I think it's like a yellow, green, red, blue, and then yellow again. And their flags represent that, which I think looks really classy.
I remember you saying something about the flags, and I couldn't remember them until you said the colours. Yeah, the flags do look good. Yeah, no, I agree with you there again. Yeah. Now, look, as I said, you don't get in the top five without getting most things right. So,
this was private for a long time. Look, even now, it's only just sneaks into public. Like, you can only get on it during the week, you can get on, but only some Sundays. And I think we had to tee off before 8 o'clock. That was the last tee time available to the public.
But we nearly had the course to ourselves. We didn't see too many others, did we?
Yeah, look, the weather wasn't great. And it was, I think there was Mother's Day weekend as well.
Mother's Day, yeah.
But yeah, look, like I said, it's one of my favourites. Mainland Australia, if you're in that area, other than the price, it's hard to get down there and play all the time because 120 is a bit steep. But I really, really enjoy Barwon Heads.
Yeah, look, and it's probably in the top half dozen courses I've ever played. Loved it. Yeah. Magnificent day.
All right, well, that probably wraps up the Barwon Heads golf course review. I reckon we should just jump straight into some listener questions. What do you think about that, Rolls?
Yeah, okay. Geez, I thought we could have had a pause there and an edit and talk things out, but you want to go straight into it?
Yeah, let's go straight into it.
Welcome to question time.
Because I haven't got my book open yet.
All right. So this question comes. This person sent in a question before. He's an avid listener. This is coming in from Beavis, aka Ian Haywood.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Beavis in a long time, but good that he's listening and good he's sending in questions. What's Beavis need to know?
Right, so Beavis, he actually came in and seen me at work. I worked in the Wang office, so he came to get some printing, and he said, I've got something that I want you to discuss on the show if you find time. I said, what is it? And he said, a little bit off topic, he said, Bitcoin. He said, we've all heard of it. He said, what do we think of it and do we own any of it? But then he went on to say, he said, look, he goes, because my opinion, he goes, I reckon Rolls wouldn't have even heard of it. Oh. And he said, and he thinks that I would have heard of it and I would have purchased it when it was at 5 cents a coin.
Well, I'll go here then. So, Beavis, I have heard of it. I am all over it. I'm an investor from way back. I've actually got a few at the moment going that I'm quite happy with. Most of my money is in my properties, though, these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't got any Bitcoin, and I'm a bit skeptical of it. But I am a little insulted that he thought I wouldn't know what it was. But then, I haven't got any of it, and I wouldn't have it in my buy column at any stage, really. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. I don't have any either. I'm obviously well aware of it. My theory with Bitcoin is, It's you set up for disappointment no matter what you do, because one or two things are going to happen. You're going to buy it now, and then you're going to think, oh, geez, that's gone up to X amount. I'm going to sell it. And then it's going to go through the roof, and you're going to kick yourself, or you're going to hold on to it, and then the ass is going to fall out of it, and it's worth nothing, and because I just see the bubble bursting with Bitcoin. I don't know why that is.
No, I'm with you. As I said, it's not in my buy recommendation at all.
Yeah, so anyway, there you go, Beavis. Yeah, no Bitcoins for the chiller dippers.
Stick to the blue chips, Beavis.
Yeah. Brick and mortar for me. Yep.
All right. Now, I've got a two-part question here. Like, well, Nick Trask, as we know, who my
Trask.
Boss, and again, avid listener, he's catching up. He's just listened to, he's listened to a few of the old ones, he's telling me today. But he sent in now, this is specifically to you. He couldn't give a stuff what I think about it. this is serious. He knows you're quite the businessman. Again, gee, we're nearly doing a business bloody section here. I didn't even really. He's wants to know, with business texts and emails, are emojis allowed?
As in between colleagues at work?
And even between we work at Loscombe, so our pallets are used by another company. So if I'm dealing with that company, like Linfox, a transport company, can I put a smiley face on the end of me business emoji, me business text or business email?
Look, I love a good emoji work. I love some good emoji work. But I'm going to... it's going to come down to how well you know the person. Like, if you never met them in person, then I think no's the correct answer.
Yep.
Keep the emojis out of the business. If you know the person, you deal with them on a regular basis, I'd probably wait for an emoji to come from that person before I sent them one.
He hates them.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And so that guarantees every text message I send him has an emoji on it. he might have even cut business ties with people, multi-million-dollar deals, because they've sent emojis.
Well, look, I can.
Do you want to know, knowing your business acumen? He was very interested.
Yeah, no, I can understand. I've never sent one through business. Put it that way.
All right, there you go. Now, this next question falls into the category of, you know, if you're a good lawyer, never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm going to ask this question not knowing the answer, and I could end up quite hurt and upset with your answer.
Can't wait. Let's do it.
So Bill Simmons, we'll just use Bill Simmons as an example, with the pod father. He's got his big sports pod network in America.
One of our favourites. We listen to him on a daily basis.
Exactly. So Bill comes to you and says, Luke, I want you to do your Chili Dippers top 100 courses in America over the next 2 years. So one a week for the next 2 years. I'll give you $100,000 to do that and pay all your expenses. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not a big money business, but $100,000, 2 year contract, but you're not taking roles with you. It's you and find someone else. So I still want the Chili Dippers to go. What would you say to that?
Oh, fucking, when am I going to have, I'll start packing me bags right now.
Oh, what?
You don't think for a second I would turn that down, do you?
All right, so what if he said you can come by yourself and you get $300,000,
mm-hmm.
or you can bring Dave and you split $200,000?
So I get $300 by myself, or I get 100, you and me get 100 each?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd take that. I'd take the second deal. I'd bring you along for that. I know you wouldn't. You wouldn't do the opposite. You'd be taking the 300K.
No, retiring
and never working again for the rest of your life.
So where's the line? What if it was half a million by yourself or 100 each?
Yeah, I might have to send you a postcard.
Oh my God, that's fucking hurtful. I wouldn't do it without you, no matter what.
Oh, that is bullshit.
Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't even fucking entertain it for a second.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
Look, don't get me wrong. I would go for free and do it. Like, say you said, just do it and I'll cover your expenses and all that sort of stuff. Whatever. I'd go do that, but I'd want you to come. But I know you wouldn't come. Would you come for that? Say you said, I'll cover your expenses. So I'll pay for your hotels, your food, your accommodation and your golf. And I want you to do the show. And then after you do 50 shows, then we might talk money. Would you do that?
Yeah, I'll take that gamble for sure.
Oh, you'd do that, all right?
Yeah.
But you'd burn me for fucking half a million.
Oh, look, I would do everything I could to try to get you involved. And look, but what's stopping... Okay, so I'm not allowed to go there, take the half a million just bring you over and just have you hang... Like, no. I'm not allowed to... I've got to cut ties.
No, Bill says, this Ralston bloke's no good at podcasting. We can't have him. Fuck him off.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
Oh, my God. That's fucking harsh.
I'm happy to call it the chili dipper.
Oh, my. Oh, wowee. All right. I don't know if I can go on.
All right. Well, I've got someone actually, this is a last minute thing. Someone actually texted me in a question today, and it's come from our good friend Drago, a.k.a. Craig Patrick. And he actually sent me a text today, and I was never going to bring this back up on a pod. He said, he reckons he listened to the last podcast. And he said, can you please ask Rolls, has he researched the phrase fuck start yet? Does he know what it means? He said, because he reckons he's still crying about the fact that you didn't know what that was.
And No, that's why I asked you to explain it. No, I don't know what the expression fuck start your head means. anyway. No, something else. That's why I wanted the link put up. So everyone could see it and see it in context and someone could explain it to me.
All right. Anyway, I just thought I'd chuck that in there. Drago was sending text messages asking that. Have you got any more questions?
No, I can't do any more questions. I should have stuck to the golden rules for lawyers. If you don't know the answer, don't ask the question.
All right. So we're going to move straight on to, we need to get an actual bit of theme music for this next one. If it's going to be an ongoing thing, we're going to go, I might. Before next time, I'll try to sort this out. But we're going to go straight into a new segment called We Are the Week.
I'm a weirdo, yeah, I'm a weirdo. People looking at me crazy, I don't care though. I'm a weirdo, weirdo. Ask me if I give a fuck, I say fuck no.
I was going to say Weirdo of the Week, and I was going to have a go at you and say, get some clever little music segment to start this off, but that's okay. Now, we weren't going to do Weirdo of the Week, but this come up at work. Now, also, I've got one or two others for Weirdo of the Week, but Bryce Moyson just will not let anyone else win it. Now, he doesn't do it on purpose. He doesn't know that it's going to happen. But today, we're at work today, and one of the dudes at work's getting a new dog. And the dog's getting delivered at 6 in the morning. And I said, gee, that's a bit weird. And he said, yeah, dog breeders are weird. And then the other guy in the office goes, not as weird as people who own horses. Horse breeders are weird. And then so Bryce, who wasn't even in the conversation, jumps up out of his chair and goes, I once had a stalker who rode an imaginary horse. I thought that was just one of the best sentences I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, yep. He had a stalker. A fair thing,
he was 13 at school. And there was this girl who just used to get around school pretending she was riding a horse everywhere. So she was pretending to hold the reins and all that sort of stuff. And apparently she'd be sneaking up through the bushes on her imaginary horse, looking at him. And she told everyone at school that she loved Bryce and was going to marry Bryce and wanted Bryce to ride her imaginary horse with her and all that sort of stuff. And Bryce wanted nothing to do with it. But as it... Just the sentence, I had a stalker who rode an imaginary horse, I just lost it. So that for me, just got Weirdo of the Week. He's won that again.
And
speaking of that, so remember, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Australia on holidays. I come back to work, and there's a nameplate on me desk It says David Cannon Ralston, which is this show's fault. And so, which, again, and even it come up, actually, funnily enough, the ops manager said to me the other day, do some work or you'll get fired. And I said, well, no, I'm the Cannon. I don't work and I can't be fired. And the boss agrees, yeah, no, he's the Cannon. We can't fire him. So, but also, so I get back to my desk and my computer screen has got three reams of paper getting up to the right height. But I get back to my desk, there's only two reams of paper holding it up. Bryce has hidden one. And then I've also got a list of phone numbers and names blue tacked to my wall next to me, nice and square and even. Bryce has put it slightly askew. Not hidden, just put it slightly on angle, just enough to annoy me. And he's turned me hole punch upside down.
He's turned your hole punch upside down?
Yep, my hole punch sits on my desk. He's turned it upside down, hidden a ream of paper, and put me list of phone numbers slightly askew. He just thought that would be hilarious. Oh, what he also did, I've got two drawers, and he moved them upside down. So he put me bottom drawer on the top and me top drawer on the bottom.
I like that. So I might have to get him on the pod one day.
Yep. On the other thing, me Trusky calls me Davis all the time.
Yeah, that's great. That was funny.
So yeah, so again, weirdo of the week. I just couldn't go past Bryce again.
Fair enough. Have you ever had a stalker?
Oh, no, shit, no.
I did in high school. Well, didn't give you a short story. In high school, there was a girl who I could say her name, but I'm not going to, not that that would matter because I would never know where she is. But in high school, we used to have high school diaries and you like, you know, mine had basketball pictures stuck all over. And if you got caught doing that, you got in trouble. So you tried to hide them for the teacher and all that sort of stuff. And you were writing, you know, Luke loves such and such in it and all that stuff you do when you're a young kid in high school. I lost my diary for a little bit and I got called into the principal's office and sat down not knowing what I was in there for, and he dropped the diary on the desk and he goes, do you recognise that? And I was like, oh, I'm getting in trouble for, you know, graffitiing all over my diary and sticking pictures in there and that. And apparently there was a girl in school who had stolen it. Ooh. And this is where it gets a little bit weird. All the way through the book where I had Luke Loves or whoever my current girlfriend was, she'd crossed the name out, put her name Annie, right? That was her, I'll give her first name. But then, this is where it gets even weirder. Where it had my name, she actually tore out the names of where it had everywhere my name was written, and she chewed the bit of paper up and then spat it out and kept it in a little test tube. And they had the test tube there with all the little bits of eaten paper in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she ended up getting kicked out of school.
Anyway,
there you go. I don't know what she's doing. I'd like to know what she's doing right. Well, actually, I'm glad I don't know what she's doing right now.
Did she ride an imaginary horse?
She may have. She just may have. I'll have to ask Bryce if he knew the chick's name.
Yeah, but
she might have been exported to New Zealand.
Yeah. Yep. No. Me. No. I would have been closer to being on the other end.
That's what I should have asked. Have you ever stalked anyone, or where do you park your imaginary horse?
I think we've gone over. She might be time to wrap her up.
At the start of the pub, when you said all the sirens were going off, I was like, oh, I was thinking, what have you done?
No.
All right. All right, let's leave on that note. Let's leave the podcast here. All right, as usual, if you've got any more questions, send them in. Hopefully we'll get to them. Keep listening to the Chili Dippers. Get on Instagram. Follow us on there if you're not already. What are you doing for tea tonight, Rolls? What are you doing?
Oh, it's late here. I've already had me chicken and beans.
Chicken and beans.
But
that's
I have got a packet of the new roast chicken shapes, the new roast chicken, and they're beautiful. They're the best barbecue shape there is.
Well, I'm actually having homemade hamburgers tonight, which are make your own hamburgers at home, and they are as good as anywhere you can have.
Is it World Hamburger Day today, or was that yesterday?
Isn't that every day?
No, it was officially World Hamburger Day yesterday, I think.
I wish it was today, because that would work well with the hamburgers I'm having tonight.
Close enough.
All right, so we're going to leave it here. Chili Dippers out.
Sticky on the back where the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. listen today. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit, try to make it last. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chad Boys yelling at the TV. 20 boys in a row, and I'm getting shirts. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt.
Yeah, no, beautiful. That was good. I said, it's fun doing it. That was good.
And that actually won't take me too long to edit up either, because we don't have to cut much out, and because we flowed straight on from segment to segment. All we're going to do is just insert the little thingo, and away we go.
It's funny. I was going to say the same as you. A little weirdo segment would be good, because I've still got a heap of those.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I can't tell a story about a bloke who can suck his own dick, can I?
Nah.
No. All right.
Probably not. Oh, look, we can. Like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm probably thinking, if I think it's borderline, it's probably borderline.
Yeah. Got to remember.
What the fuck does start your own head mean?
That means, like, if you're going to fuck start head, you're going to...